We are learning more about what's going on in the Fort Mill School District this week. Joe Burke is the Chief Communication Officer for Fort Mill Schools. And good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Every time I see Joe, I say, Joe, what do you know? As if he's never heard that.
Yep.
But he laughs and he goes, oh, I appreciate it. I know down deep he's thinking, okay, come up with something new.
You get used to these things over the years, believe me.
Luke, I am your father is another one. I still to this day get that. And I just smile and grimace and go, oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I can see that, yes.
So, to your point, just move right along for sure. There was a big vote that took place Monday night on New York County Council dealing with Fort Mill impact fees.
Yes, actually, it was a third reading, and the vote did take place last night to implement the impact fees at the new amounts that were shown in the study that was done again for this time around. For those that don't know, Fort Mill has had an impact fee for the last several years. We were the first school district to do it after the act was changed in 2016 to allow schools. And this is the time period where we now have to go back under the law to redo the study, look at the costs, look at everything in the calculations, and reapply for the impact fee. And, of course, this time around, we did see an increase in the impact fee for a number of reasons. Obviously, inflation is a big one, construction costs in general, and just what the costs are associated with adding new seats and new buildings in the district. So that did pass last night. So we're very happy and very proud. We thank the county for passing that, and we're looking forward to being able to provide the additional savings to our tax base.
What is an impact fee, and why did Fort Mill feel like that was the best route for the district?
Sure. Impact fees are used all across governmental agencies. Like I said, in 2016, the schools were added to be allowed to do this under the Impact Fee Act in South Carolina. And what it is it is a charge that is assessed at the time of permitting of construction of a new home. And again, that's construction of a new home. These are not applied to existing homes in the county or in the district. So it is a fee that is assessed, and it is to help pay for the growth that comes along with that new home. And where you see this a lot with school districts is in districts like ours that have extremely prolonged and rapid growth. So it's a way to help for the newcomers and the new growth to help pay for the expanding services and facilities that have to be provided. This money is used strictly for the construction of new school buildings. It is not used to pay teacher salaries. By law, it can't be used for that. It can't be used for general budget purposes. It can only be used for the expansion and building of new facilities in the district. So, again, it's a way for growth to help pay for growth moving forward.
And does it expire or just run out after so many years?
Yes, there are very specific clauses inside of the law that every 5 years you're supposed to go and do a new study and assess new impact fee. There is a clause for getting an amended plan, which is what we did, which is why it was a little more than 5 years this past time around. But ultimately, you do hit that point where you have to go through the process that we just went through, which is brings in a national company to come in and do a study to determine the actual impact fee maximum value, and that's also in the law the way it works. The study comes in and decides what the maximum allowable value would be under the law, and then, of course, the county council then gets their opportunity to vote on it, whether they take it to the maximum amount allowable or any number below that. They have those options available to them.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, is there a certain amount that you can spend, or do you have to spend all of that amount within the 5 years?
That's the other thing, too. There's very specific portions. When I talk about the maximum allowance, what I'm talking about is the maximum allowance to be charged. There's obviously not a maximum amount for collecting on the other end. That's all based on how many homes come in. So, for example, we built a school with $72 million that were collected off of it since we started the last time around. So, but as far as setting the allowable amount, yes, the law is very specific about the calculation and formulation that has to be used to come up to that amount. And then that is the highest amount you can set, whatever the study shows. You can't go above that under the law.
And Joe, why is the county council involved with Fort Mill School District impact fees?
Yeah, that's another part. That's a part of the law. You have to have a governmental agency that would be over this. And since the county is the one who actually assesses the fee at time of permit when they issue the permits, they are the agency that collects it. They hold the money in an account there. The school district submits requests for those funds to pay construction costs based on where we're at in a process, and then they transfer the funds to us. So we've used this analogy before, but I think if you think of this as they're the teller at the bank, and they hold the account, and then they're collecting it as the input comes in, and then we would come up to them and say, okay, we have these X, Y, and Z bills we need to pay associated with the school construction. Here's the funds we'd like to withdraw to do that.
Joe, some of those that voted against impact fees on York County Council over the three readings kept saying, we're going to price people out of being able to live in Fort Mill, including the district's own teachers and first responders. How does the district respond to some of those comments?
Sure, and that's the deal with the affordable housing piece, which is part of the study when we look at this. And quite frankly, the reality is in Fort Mill that the average new home construction cost is over $600,000. So I'm not sure the impact fee is really the thing that's pricing people out of Fort Mill. It seems more of the type of homes and the values that are being put in there. And again, like I said, though, the impact fee does not apply to existing homes, and that's where you generally see the more affordable costs with existing homes that go up for sale. But as far as impacting new construction home costs, that is already happening. If this impact fee was not voted on last night, I don't believe you would see the average home price of new construction homes in Fort Mill go down. So, but obviously that is a concern with teachers in our area, especially as well, too, you know, trying to deal with affordable housing, being able to live in the community you serve, and that's something the district is looking for options to maybe try to help with. But there is also the situation of the district doesn't have any of the regulatory ability for permitting or deciding lot sizes or what types of homes are built. All of those fall to other agencies. So we'd like to work with them too and see what we can come up with.
You're just tasked to educate the kids.
Yes.
Despite how many neighborhoods pop up in your district.
Well, and I think the other thing to talk about on this is that if we don't have these types of funds coming in, the only other option under the law for school districts to fund the building of new schools is to go out for bonds, which we still have to do even with the impact fees, but we can reduce the amount of that burden because ultimately that is put directly onto the taxpayers, both homeowners and businesses, whereas with the operationals is just on the business side. So, you know, this does impact everybody if we don't have these fees in place.
Joe Burke is the Chief Communications Officer for the Fort Mill School District.
Joe, Fort Mill Schools is one of three of our four school districts that are looking for the top job of superintendent.
Sure.
So where is Fort Mill Schools in their searching for their next top leader?
Yes, actually, so at this point, the BWP and Associates, which is the outside firm that the board brought in to help manage the search for us, they gave a presentation at our board meeting last week where they presented all of the data associated with the surveys and the in-person meetings and everything that they conducted in the prior week. So they came out and presented all of that. It kind of showed what people are looking for in a superintendent and what they believe are the strengths of the district and what they believe are some of the challenges for the district, growth being one of those. So they came and presented that data, and they used that data to generate what they call a profile of a candidate, basically. And they're going to use that profile. The job is now open and posted, and it's not through our district website. You apply through this position through BWP Associates because, again, they're managing the search. They will then take all of the candidates that come in. They're going to review them based against the profile that they've created. And then they're in the process of doing all of that. At the end of April, they're going to make a recommendation. I believe that Mr. Kastner says 7 or 8 candidates for possible interview to the board based on how they stacked up against that profile. And then the board will take it from there. They'll do their interviews. And then eventually, I believe they're going to narrow it down to 3 final candidates. Then they're going to be under South Carolina law. When you hit the 3 candidate position, you do have to announce those publicly. So that'll be known at that point. And they're going to come spend a day in our district, I believe, and go around and see everything. So right now we're in the application phase and then through this month. And then we'll be moving into it's going to speed up pretty rapidly when we hit the May portion. And there's going to be a lot of new news coming out at that time.
Joe, you mentioned growth. That was one of the topics discussed in that survey. What was another topic or a couple of things that the responses in the survey that folks in the Fort Mill School District said they would like for the next superintendent, the qualities and personalities for that individual to have?
Well, before I get to that, I want to say one of the overarching and most highest percentage responses of that survey was when they talked about the strengths, and the biggest strength was the teachers and staff in our school district. So again, I've done this before. I got to give a big shout out to our teachers and staff in our district, all of our support positions, our aides, our teachers, our principals, administrators. They're what makes Fort Mill a great place, and that came through in the survey. So just want to say that that was the biggest strength that we had. As far as what they're looking for somebody who can come in, continue Fort Mill's success while building on it. Obviously, you don't want to come in and wipe away everything we're doing because we do some things pretty well. But at the same time, you want to have somebody come in and can add their experience and add their knowledge to us. So that was a big thing that came through. I think they're looking for somebody who can come in and be a leader and be very open to the public as well as communication with internal with staff. So, you know, I don't think there was anything that was uber surprising in the traits they're looking for. These are generally the things you're looking for in a good leader. But I do think that seeing those strengths come through for the district was obviously a big, almost a congratulations to the people who work in the district.
You mentioned your teachers. You all have named your teacher of the year for the each school, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then that big class will be whittled down to the top five.
Yeah. So in the last couple of weeks, we did name, as you said, the school site teachers of the year, which is a great thing, and our support staff of the year, because we do honor them as well, too. And we're getting into that process time now. We're actually, this Thursday, we have a Teacher of the Year banquet. We're going to celebrate all of those teachers, but then we're also going to name the top five honor roll teachers. And those honor roll teachers will go on to compete for the district's top Teacher of the Year prize, which usually we announce right at the beginning of school coming up for this next school year.
This is like a beauty pageant, right? Yes, you've got all of the candidates on stage, yes, and then the top five, yep, move forward for the next round.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's how the process goes. And if you think about it, that's how it works for the state level too, because they take all the district teachers of the years and they select their top few to then move forward. So, but again, less about the beauty and more about the actual work and stuff they're doing now that all of our teachers aren't beautiful.
The brawn. That's right.
That's right.
Now, we just break things down at a simple level here. Yes. That's just what I picture everyone in that room. Well, congratulations to the individual Teacher of the Year nominee from their school. And you can see all of them up on the district's website. And you guys do such a great job of kind of painting a picture of why each one was selected. Joe Burke, once again, is the public information officer for the Fort Mill School District. Joe, thank you very much, sir. We appreciate it.